To see you all here today. I am pulling you back from your conversations. We've got a lot of stuff going on today. I'm Greg Meyer, pastor here, and it's great to be with you as always. Hey, can someone go and turn off these big lights and someone who knows how to do the lights thing? Tim knows. All right. I just realized it's like daylight in here. Do I want that? If God calls, I'll answer. That's the sun. Okay, I'm not going there, but anyway. Who doesn't like fortune cookies? You know? What's not to like? I mean, you get a cookie and you get a surprise. Like a cheap box of Cracker Jacks. And now I've learned to be kind of disappointed with fortune cookies because I've gotten way too many proverbs and lucky numbers. And frankly, I don't really care how you say pig and uncle in Chinese, all right? But if you've been kind of watching some of my posts on Facebook lately, I've had a lucky string of fortune cookies. And I got a couple of them here that I've had just late. The change you started already have far-reaching effects. You can tell it was genuinely Chinese, right? Be ready. I said, yeah, I like that. That was cool. And then this one, you deserve special treatment this month. Enjoy dessert. That's good. And then I didn't get this one. Hope you didn't eat the shrimp. Or this one, this is important, life or death. Make sure you, oh no. All right, so here you are, you're at a Chinese restaurant, you just had a delicious dinner, and now this cookie sitting in front of your plate, just sort of like tempting you, you know you've got this fortune, your future is in that cookie. And so you crack it open, and you pull out the paper, and this is what it says. It says, you get to do this. And you're thinking, I get to do what? I mean, obviously, it's not talking about opening the fortune cookie. It's probably not even talking about eating at this restaurant. What is it that I am doing that is such a privilege that I, capital letters, get to do this? Well, there are a lot of things that you get to do that are just amazing things that you get to do. And one of them, and the one that I want to talk about today, is that you get to be Jacob's well. Now, some of you are going, oh, geez. I mean, I was hoping for I get to own a Ferrari, or I get a free vacation paid in Bali. Yeah, Jacob's well may not be quite have the same wow factor as some of those things. But I think when it gets to what life is really about and the things that we really, really want to get to, I think Jacob's well and what that is talking about is really right at the heart of it. And this is why, because you see, being Jacob's Well is not about being part of this organization, okay? No, that's not what it is. Being Jacob's Well is really just shorthand for how you would say, I get to be a part of what God is up to in this world. You get to be a part of what God is up to. That is amazing. That is an enormous privilege. And that is what we're exploring today. So today we're pausing from our usual kind of Sunday morning to stop and say, why do we do this? I mean, this is a lot of work. It takes a lot of time. It takes a lot of money. What do we think we're doing? Why do we do this? And here's the long and short of it. All right? If being Jacob's well is a have-to for you, then there's something wrong. There's something wrong. It may not be all fun and games, but I sure hope that you feel drawn, not pushed. I mean, Jesus wasn't hurting people that couldn't get away from him. Jesus was leading people who couldn't get enough of him. There was a real tough stint recorded in the Gospels where a lot of people had jumped on the Jesus bandwagon because it was sort of the thing to do. But stuff was getting tough, and those people were getting off the bandwagon pretty fast. And Jesus turns to his disciples and says, his closest followers, the 12 disciples, and says, what about you guys? Do you want to get off too? And Peter, as you've been hearing the last couple weeks, always the impetuous one, just blurt out exactly what his mind says, teacher, who else would we follow? You've got the message of life that is really life. Translation, seriously? Leave? And what else are we going to do? You've shown us what life is really all about. You think we're going to go do something else? Are you crazy? Now, Jacob's well was a dream 7 years ago. In fact, right at this exact time 7 years ago, we were just planning our first three services that were going to be monthly, trying to ramp up and get ready for starting weekly in the fall of 2006. And it was a lot of work. And we weren't starting Jacob's Well because South Minneapolis needed another church. I mean, like that. There are so many churches in South Minneapolis. That wasn't the point. The point was there were some of us who needed to discover a way to be church that really gave life to us. It was life-giving. And we needed to find a way of being church that we could connect other people with God through that we thought was life-giving, not just life-sucking for them as well. And here you guys are. Now, in those days, there was a lot of work. Everything was new and getting invented, and it wasn't like this. There was not a big room of people to be a part of it. There was like 20 of us that were working really hard, and we probably had a list of another 15 to 20 people that if we called on, they would do something. And so we were doing all this stuff, and we didn't even know if anybody was going to come to our first service. And during that time when it was a lot of work, this phrase came up that kept coming up and kind of kept us going. It was simply this: remember, we get to do this. It wasn't just a saying, and it didn't even feel like us saying it. It felt like something God was reminding us of. God was saying to each and every one of us, if this is a have-to for you, go home. But look deep in your heart. And if this is a get-to, if you are tying into the stuff that you think is life, a real life, then what are you complaining about? I mean, what would you rather be spending this chunk of your life on than these things that are really life? So, first of all, before anything else, I just want to say thank you to you guys. Thank you. I love being Jacob's Well with you. I really do. I just want to say it again. I love being Jacob's Well with you guys. And I want to thank you for being Jacob's Well with me. This is a great journey we're on. Second, I want to help us put a little understanding about what it is that is so good about being church that makes all this effort, all this time, all this money worthwhile, because this is the truth. This is a privilege that we get to do this, okay? So there are five things. I'm going to keep it short because the kids are going to come and join us before too long. But there's five things I want to touch on. And the first is this, and you're going to find all this on the back of your Sunday paper. You want to flip it over. There's that, our usual outline. Take a look at that. The first is simply this. Number one, privileges of being church. Why this is a get to. Number one, you have the privilege of making mistakes. Now, some of you are thinking, yeah, like, right, like that's a problem for me. I don't need God in a church to help me make mistakes. I've got that one down. No, but here's the point. This is a place you can actually make them. You don't need to hide it. You don't need to bury it. You don't need to pretend you don't make them. This is a place where we understand that making mistakes is part of being human. It's part of becoming human, in fact. We have all this mantra, you know, the buzz in our offices at work where they say, well, you know, mistakes are a part of the process of learning, or your friends all laugh it off. But I don't care what they say or how much they laugh it off, there's a bottom line with everybody. And that bottom line has to, you're finally getting it right. God does not have a bottom line. Or let me correct that. God has a bottom line, but God's bottom line has nothing to do with your performance. It has all to do with your acceptance. And that is a big, big difference. So God takes broken stuff, and God doesn't look at it, scold it, judge it, wait for it to fix itself. God takes broken stuff and makes it beautiful. And I don't know how God does it, but God does it over and over again. So I get lots of emails and notes and stuff from you guys. Please keep sending them. I just love to hear what's going on and how you're connecting with Jacob's Well. And I collect these. I keep them. And so I just want to share some. Here's one that I got some time ago. Let me read it to you. When I came to Jacob's Well, I heard that God wanted us, heard that God wanted us to bring our ugliness to Jacob's Well. Somehow that gave me the okayness to keep coming. This community has a gift of relating to people as they are, not just if they look good. I don't know what to think about God right now, but I'm very grateful God led you to create this well of acceptance and of God's inviting voice to the ordinary person in blue jeans and of God's love even for those of us who have some ugly parts hidden in our lives. Wow. I didn't do this. You did this. We did this. God did this through us and with us. That's good stuff. The Bible talks about it this way. The Bible says, the Lord's love never ends. The Lord's mercies never stop. They are new every morning. Lord, your faithfulness is amazing. You can begin again. See, part of getting to do this is the privilege of making mistakes. And believe me, if you don't know it yet, that is going to come in handy. Okay. Number two, you also have the privilege of living in hope. The privilege of living in hope. One of the get-tos in this is that you don't have to live in hope that someday you will be rich, married, famous, skinny, cool, promoted, approved, none of that, okay? Hope lives because you are discovering that there are some things that you already have that can never be taken away from you. That's what hope is all about and how it works. Let me read you this note that I received. You may have noticed a friend of mine who comes occasionally and sits with us. She called me today and told me she and her husband have both been recovering drug and alcohol addicts for 20 years. Her husband had a relapse and told her over the phone on his way home from a business trip on Friday, He has spent all that they have and then some more. She thanked us for connecting her to Jacob's Well because she feels God's presence there and knows that they will find a way to get through this and would not have felt this way before. He should be going into treatment tomorrow. Do you want to know what living hope is? It's that. It's no quick fixes. It's no denial of reality, but it is hope. Hope that exists because you are here, because we are here, because we have made Jacob's Well happen. And because of that, those people found hope and they found next steps. The Bible talks about it this way. Paul writes, "Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will hardship or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Christ who loves us." Now, I'm not going to tear that apart. This is a great one. In group life, you're going to be taking a look at this. Or for your own personal devotions, dive into that verse, okay? But I just want to unpack one thing, this underlined phrase at the in the last line. It's on screen. It's on your Sunday papers, where it says, "You are more than conquerors." Now, in the original language in Greek, that word is, "You are hyper-conquerors." Think about that. It isn't that you are like a really good conqueror. It isn't that you are a reliable conqueror. No, but you are more than a conqueror. What does that mean? What is more than a conqueror? It's more than winning. It's a different game altogether. It's coming up to an obstacle that you can win even when you don't win. It's hope. It's hope that is real. You have the privilege of living in that kind of hope that isn't optimism, but it is alive. That's a biggie. Three, you have the privilege of being cared for and supported by others. Boy, this is nice, folks. This is nice. In fact, it's really, really necessary, too. You know, there are friends. I hope you all have friends. And then there are people who understand that life is about one true great journey that is beyond all the other journeys, and that the only way to really do it is to do it together and to let God be part of that journey with us. When you find those people, you've got a shot at life. And you'd better be open about that journey with each other. You better be talking about that journey. You better be sharing what you're learning about that journey. You better be getting support from each other and giving it back and forth for that journey, because that is the way you're going to make it. In the New Testament, the vision of this, of the people that come together as the people of God and share this, it says this. This is in 1 Peter. It says, "Finally, all of you have unity of spirit, sympathy, love for one another, a tender heart, and a humble mind." That's the kind of stuff that God wants us to have, so we are cared for and we're supported by each other. The weekly email just goes out on Thursday. Those of you who got it, and the theme, you know, this week is this, you get to be, we get to do this, and this thank you idea. And no more had that email gone out than I got an email back from it from someone here. And let me read you part of that email. It said, "I have to tell you about this lovely thing that happened to me not long ago. At the end of the message, in the midst of a song, I was standing there, eyes closed, tears streaming down my face, crying quietly. When suddenly, Someone hugs me with a deep, strong embrace. Even once I opened my eyes, I had no idea who it was because her face was behind my head and I didn't recognize her clothes. So I let myself melt into her embrace, continuing to cry. And she kept holding me. She held me for a long time. When the song ended, I pulled away and I saw who it was. Someone who I had been in group life with. Someone who knew something about my story. It was such an amazing experience, letting myself be comforted by someone I barely knew. And yes, I plan to thank her. Maybe even this Sunday. Well, I kind of think they just did. Now, I can't promise all of you that you are going to get a passionate hug every week when you come to Jacob's Well. Some of you, I can reassure you, you will not get a passionate hug every week when you come to Jacob's Well. But, you know, the point is that it is so essential that every one of us is known and is cared about deeply enough that there are people that are going to be there for us and with us no matter what. That is essential. Group life is not the only place where that can happen. But group life is the most likely place where you are going to be known and you are going to know other people that way. If you haven't taken that risk, go try being part of group life. Help us let that kind of support and care. Okay, so you not only have this privilege of being cared for and supported by others, but you also get the other side of it. You get the privilege of caring for and supporting other people as well. Does the line, "it's not all about you," mean anything to you? I mean, really, okay? If everything that you really care about, everything you're really willing to work very hard on, has something in it just for you, I just have to tell you, you have the most amazing and wonderful discovery waiting for you. And that is, as cool as it is, as nice as it is to have people do things for you, it is so much better to be doing things for other people and to have that exchange going on. I'm not going to go into my whole story on this. Some of you have heard me talk about this before, but I just want to tell you this from my life's journey, that there is nothing, I mean, there is absolutely nothing that is more satisfying than knowing that you are being used by God. There's nothing in this world more satisfying than knowing that you are being used by God to change things in this world, to touch people's lives in one way or another. I think you get that point, okay? It's a privilege for us to be able to support and care and touch other people's lives that way. The last piece that I want to talk to you about, maybe the biggest one, right? And that is this. You have the privilege of being part of something that is bigger than anything you can ever imagine. You have the privilege of being a part of something that is bigger than you can imagine. See, the truth is that life gets small, life gets short, life gets shallow so easily. I don't know exactly why it happens. Maybe it's just because, you know, the grind kind of wears us down to that. Maybe it's because as we grow older, we start focusing and, you know, being more specialized in a littler and a smaller part of the world. But somehow in this whole process, something happens to us that isn't so good. We have this tendency to get little and to be closed. And this world really needs people that are much bigger, people that are wide open. That's the kind of stuff that God can work with. And this faith, this God, this Jesus stuff, it is about big, big questions that are going to stretch you and make your world bigger. It is not about your little preoccupations. And that's important, and we need that. I get lots and lots of versions of this email. It comes on a regular basis. Let me read you this one. I always look forward to Sunday mornings. The service always relates in some way to my life and gives me a larger perspective. It takes me out of myself, my own concerns, and my intense microscopic world for a while. And it helps remind me of the bigger life picture. If each of you did not play your role in Jacob's well-being here, this wouldn't happen. Thank you. This picture here, this is the first week of the month setup crew and teardown crew. Most people are, you know, once a month sort of thing. They're the guys and gals who did it this morning. They can give them a hand. Always a few others that didn't quite manage to fit into the picture, but they were there as well. So, you know, what they do is they unload the trailer and unload a closet we store stuff in. They, you know, set up chairs, curtains. They practice music. They do tech stuff. They set up tables, get bathrooms ready. I mean, you name it. They welcome. They put together your little packets of Sunday papers, communication cards, offerings, and pens, and all that kind of stuff. I mean, they get this place ready. It's little stuff, but they do it for big reasons. They know, we all know, that God's love starts, what? God's love starts with an invitation and a welcome. And so if all these little things that they do they get ready for people to show up here, somehow opens people's hearts so that they could see this bigger vision of what God has in mind for their lives in our world, believe me, it is no longer a have to. It has become a get to. Because we want to make that kind of difference in people's lives. And it isn't just that crew that makes this happen. You all are an amazing group of people. You have an amazing ability to welcome others. Do you know that? I mean, do you realize how friendly that you guys come off to other people? You really fake it well. I mean, it's amazing. So whenever someone visits for the first time, if we know it, when we know they visited, we send them a letter, and in that letter, they get one of these cards. We call them first impression cards. And it's got, you've probably all got one of these. If you're new today, you will be getting one of these, okay? And it has four simple questions. It's anonymous. It asks them, what did you notice first? What did you like best? What did you like least? And how did you find out about us? That's it. And people send them back, and we look through them. And almost to the card, we get these comments. Let me read these to you. I didn't like sort through a big stack to get these. I pulled the first little handful off, and I maybe threw out three, and I had these left over. All of them, it's so consistent. People were welcoming and friendly. Lots of happy people. Being greeted at the door and people around me introducing themselves. Very friendly and welcoming. Warm, welcoming atmosphere. The friendliness of the people, even in the parking lot. What did I like best? That everyone was really friendly, underlined heart. People were open, welcoming, very friendly. Could tell that community is important. Friendly, outgoing people.
Great music.
I'm looking. This person's judgment we have to, you know, maybe question because it starts out saying organized. Organized, welcoming, comfortable, friendly. Great hospitality, friendly and welcoming. Friendly people. I was greeted early and often. I deeply appreciated the hospitality. I also appreciated the name tags and the casual dress. Friendliness and of those who greeted us. The friendliness, the welcoming. Someone came right up to us and helped us to find the pond with our son. She was genuinely interested in us, as were others. Wow. Give yourselves a hand. I mean, you're good. I mean, there is no way we can just make that be the way it is. It is the way you are. It's the Spirit of God working through us and our wanting to share this. I don't know. Just please don't stop. This is good stuff, okay? People need to know that they are welcome, that they are accepted just the way they are. And that welcome is so key to it. This is good stuff. This is God's stuff, okay? And it isn't just Sunday mornings, but this is true. When you take the time and make the effort to realize that this is God's big universe, not your little world, then your life is full of meaning and possibility that you didn't even know existed before. And you can be about stuff that is more than you could ever imagine. So here's a shameless repetition of my favorite and probably, I think, one of the most true verses in the Bible, and that's Ephesians 3:20. The power of God at work within us can accomplish abundantly far more than anything we could ever ask or imagine. Okay, you have the privilege of being a part of something that is bigger than anything you could have ever asked or imagined. That, folks, is a get to. So the kids are going to be joining us here in a minute, and I just want to leave you with this one thought about why it is so wonderful that we get to do this and why it is such a privilege for us to be a part of something that is bigger than we could ever ask or imagine, okay? And it's simply this, and that is that God's perspective on your life in our world is the best, it is the biggest, and it is the most beautiful perspective that this planet has to offer. So if you're ever going to trust God with anything in your life, let it be this vision for who you are and for what this world is about. Let God unfold it to you. Discover it here with us. Share what you learn. Ask questions. Probe doubts. But engage yourself with it and help us be Jacob's well. Okay? Let's pray. God, I just want to say thank you to you. You want us to have lives of such meaning, and you're willing to trust us to be the people that receive your love and then figure out how to give it to others. That's amazing. Thank you that we get to do that. Just thank you. And help us to do it together. Amen.